Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He is moving. Like never before, there's never been a time in history where the Holy Spirit is moving like He is now. Upon people who love Him, there are many people who love the Lord our God and King. They listen to the prophets. The Lord said, if you listen to the prophets, you're a prophet. And I can count many times that I've listened to prophets of God and I get blessed like they are. I love it. I love it. You know, it's important. So there are millions and millions of people who have ears to hear. And most of them carry, many of them follow through and see things to completion. They see the end of God. Of his work. They see what the Holy Spirit can do. And what happens when you have a victory? You trust God to the point of victory. I'm not talking about almost at the edge of the blessing, but you break through. You finish the course and you trust God unto your victory, and which is His victory too. Your trust in God goes up, and also God's trust in you goes up. See, He trusts us too. We trust each other because of the past. Now, believing God is taking Him at face value without the past, but trust is always based on the past. So, I like to share this with people of faith. See, sometimes there are people of faith, they can really do some things. They pull off things of God because they live by their faith as a way of life, not just when they get in trouble, but as a way of life. They apply wisdom every day. That's living by faith. They love everybody wherever they go. That's living by faith. They yield to the anointing. In other words, if the Lord puts somebody on their heart, they see it through to completion. If the Lord wake them up and have them pray in the Holy Spirit, they don't just roll over and go to sleep. They pray till they get that note of praise. I like to pray in the Holy Spirit till I start laughing. Same thing. And guess what? If you're faithful, God will do it again. And that's what I want. The last time He woke me up to pray in the Holy Spirit, He told me what to pray for. He told me to rebuke some principalities of several different nations, and I got on board with it until I started laughing. So when you do these things, if God has a need, he always get his best candidate. When it comes to you, you're the best person. You're the best choice for that moment. Never fail. Some people don't, they get scared to be used of God and they withdraw themselves. But that's not faith. Now, people who live by faith, they can go even further if they ever learn to trust God. Now, trust is something that has not been taught much since I've been a Christian. Not the way God taught me trust. Now, before, around 2015 or 16, I think the Lord gave me a lot of revelation about trust. One day he gave me this. I was listening to Mark 11, 23 through 25, or 20 through 25. I was listening to Mark 11, all of it. But when it got to the faith verses, and I was listening to the faith verses, the Lord spoke to me and said, faith is a definer. He gave me another definition. I didn't ask for this. He gave it to me. I said, wait a minute. I said, Lord, how does this work? All right, a man that's unsaved, he believe on Jesus, right? Well, he's redefined as a man that's born again, a child of God. He's not a child of the world anymore. A man that's sick, he believes for his healing. He's redefined as healed. Faith is a definer. It's a verb. It does something. See, I didn't Now Smith Wigglesworth said faith is an act. He's right. It's a verb. And I don't know how long it went by, but a few months, I guess, went by. And I said, Lord, you gave me a definition of faith. I said, what's your definition of trust? I never asked you what your definition of trust was. Now, before this, in all of my writings, if I got it right, the Holy Spirit did it, because I didn't understand what I learned about trust at that time. I used to use faith and trust interchangeably, but if I got it perfect, it was the Holy Spirit that did, not me. And one day I'm going to go back and look at it, because I wrote about trust and faith without realizing the difference. And many people don't. Now, the dictionary Hebrew and Greek definitions is not what I'm... This is beyond that. It's not that they're wrong, but for what the Lord gave me, it's a more fitting example of what the Holy Spirit was giving us in the Word of God. Now I said, Lord, what's your definition of trust? He said, trust is reliance. I said, and I thought about it, and I said, wait a minute, Lord, show me where I can get it. He said, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. I said, wow. Then I got it. I understood it by the Hebrews that left Egypt. They obeyed everything Moses said till they got to that mountain. He could tell them to do something, they'd do it. They take his word at face value and perform it. But they never trusted God. Only Joshua and Caleb and Moses had trust. And very few people trust in him. People 20 years below 20 years of age were able to trust him. They all, under pressure, they always wanted to go back to what they trusted. The way of life that they trusted. They didn't trust this desert adventure. And they didn't trust God either. Now, I was doing I said some things at a friend of mine's funeral. I was reading the New Testament. I gave a word. I didn't do a eulogy or nothing, but the Lord put something on my heart to say that children, he said, children, the way people see God is shaped by their first authority figures. The way people see God, the way children see God, it is shaped by their first authority figures. Now, Pharaoh was the authority figure of Egypt until Moses came. Moses, with all the miracles of God, they knew to listen to him. But in that imprint of authority was based on Pharaoh. And so every time under pressure, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They thought God was going to do like Pharaoh. They didn't trust him for who he is. And that's the problem. And that's still a problem. People blame their sicknesses on God. See, what preachers have done is they said, well, if somebody died prematurely, they try to sue the family. We don't know why God took them. Well, God don't go around taking folks. The devil does that. He goes about to seek who he can devour. He's out there trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And sometimes he sees people that have potential and he gets afraid of them and try to set them up. And sometimes people fall under bad habits. They have medical conditions. That's not God's fault. God tried to keep us out of misery in the first place. So if God is all powerful, why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he stop the train wreck? Why didn't he stop the bank robbery? God knew that they was going to go into a bank and get robbed. And he let them go in there. If he could have stopped them, he would have. Most people don't give God their attention. Sometimes God can prevent things. He'll give people dreams and visions. And they still go in the bank. Then you hear them say, if they survive, something told me not to go in there. God talks. People don't listen. So a lot of people got it all balled up and twisted. It's just, you know, I like what Glory Copeland said. I heard this the other day. She said, God don't get the devil to do his work. He don't rent a devil. I laugh when I said, man, people need to know the truth. God is not crazy. He don't do crazy stuff. His covenant is his covenant. Everything you read about God, he's trying to prevent people from going down the tubes. Why would he restore the planet in five days, and then he made man to run it, and then he rested on the seventh. Now, and he gave him everything and told him how to keep it in order. He gave him an example by the Garden of Heaven. Years ago, the Lord gave me a writing called the Garden of Heaven. Adam was supposed to make the whole world look like heaven. Just like we're supposed to represent Jesus in fullness, we're supposed to be doing what he said and cause people and represent the Lord and show them the way out of the world. See, the world don't have an exit door. You can't see it. You have to. The only way out of this is to see the light of God's people and hear their words. That's how you get in the covenant. We got to give them something to see. Now, we don't bear branches, we bear fruit. Like Ray taught in Sunday school, we bear fruit. They'll see it, it's obvious. They can get it if they want it, or they'll reject it. But if they want it, it's available. And the fullness of the kingdom of heaven is theirs. They just got to learn how to operate. Now, and that's the covenants of God. That's what the covenants are designed to do. That's God's covenants. So when we get an agreement, then we can do something. Now, we will have partial understanding until we receive revelation from God. And the way we continue the receiving revelation process, we have to cooperate. We have to believe God and take him at his word. And when we get to a point that God is ready to show us something we're not used to, we have to trust him. And see, that's where the church has failed. And many people have done it without realizing that they continue to trust God. Some people trust God as a way of life. They just don't know they may not have heard it the way I'm teaching it. But he said, trust is reliance. And I said, Lord, clear it up for me. Bring it down where I can get it. He said, faith is trust before you see. Trust is faith after you've seen, and it's necessary. So in their mind, they couldn't trust God. They would obey him. That's more, you know, they would do what was necessary. As long as this has been Israel's pattern for a long time. They would obey God if they had a leader. Just like this country. If you have good leadership, people are more prone to do right. If you have an evil leader, they start doing stupid stuff. Same thing. But those that trust the Lord continue on their path of learning from him. And they're the ones who get to know him. They stay in covenant. They continue the process. People who are slow to trust God, they're more limited. But people who promptly trust God, they hit the mark. They overcome faster and faster, faster and faster. And their lives are more refined. And they love God. And they see the wisdom of God operating in their life more and more. And I desire this. That's the promise of following God. That's what happens to people who truly follow him. Some people follow God in part. That's not good enough for what God is trying to give you. We have a lifespan. God has to do something within our lifespan. And this is also very, very, very important. Prompt faithfulness. Obedience. That's my new definition for obedience. Prompt faithfulness. When God say do something, be on time about it. Do it right then. Receive the word. Don't catalog it. You got to catalog it. If you don't catalog, if you don't write it down, it can be taken, because you're not used to that. You're not used to that revelation. If it's fresh, you may not be used to it. Even though you're full of the word and you have good rapport with God and you love God, some revelations I have to immediately catalog. I have to grab it, get it in my heart, and then I talk to the Lord about it so that it can be more refined, so I can be one with it. That's how you trust God. That's how you continue. You don't want your doubts and unbeliefs or anything of that nature to accuse what you're learning. You want to give God your full attention when he gives you something new. It's where you're not going to get in trouble, because nothing evil can come from God. You may not have thought to process it that way, but if you receive what he's saying, it will develop in you. Write it on paper and write it in your heart and act on it. And get an understanding, a firm understanding. This is what needs to happen. But when you let the deacon board tell you, well, we didn't vote on it that way, you... if you let them stop that process, or anybody for that matter, some people are not trying to learn God. They just want to live a comfortable, cushy life. They don't care. They're not trying to do nothing extra. They just want to we did good enough. Let's just plain out here. No, if you go forward, you're going to be happier. You're going to be blessed. The work of the ministry will keep you young. But if you start sitting on that recliner and get comfortable, you know, I heard that they gave Oral Roberts a rocking chair for his birthday 1 year. He looked at that rocking chair. He took it to the retirement home. He said, I don't need a rocking chair. He right. You don't retire. You keep moving. The anointing on you, you keep moving. What's next, Lord? When the day of rest is coming, let's work while it's day. All right. When you trust God, you put things in motion that should be in motion. And you learn. You get to learn the greater things of God. This is what Israel didn't get. They didn't do this. They kept trying to enjoy the land. And they didn't drive out the Philistines and the Canaanites. They didn't drive out the Canaanites enough. They let two men remain. They made a deal with the Gibeonites. Now, this is about covenant. God made a covenant. And they always broke the covenant. That's the problem. If you don't trust God, you will break his covenant. Even people of faith. If you don't trust him, eventually you're going to break covenant. If God wants you to do something and you don't do it, you're not in agreement, are you? You're in partial agreement. And God don't judge us for what we don't know, of course. He's just in his ways. But see, he can't reveal to you the greater things until you are in faith and no doubt. If he tells you to do something and you're reluctant, or you stick with the permissive will, you're not getting in trouble, you're not in sin, just like the pastors of old that I talk about sometimes. They were not in sin. They were honorable men of God. But they couldn't be sanctioned for what God was trying to sanction them to do, something much greater. But they didn't see that. They didn't know what they missed out on. Now, you know, and God continued to use them. They were not a sin. They did. I don't want to present it. You know, I talk about it sometimes only for the purpose so that people won't make the same mistakes. But they couldn't know what God was going to do next because they didn't trust him in that area. But if you do, you're going to start learning more and more and more. And God is going to build on your life in a much greater way. Now, I saw the visions of what would happen if they followed. Now, he did tell them what would happen if they obeyed him versus not. And they always did it. They did. Their attempts were to do more of what they already thought they should do. If they preached hard, they preached harder. If they were devoted to the doctrine they were convinced by, they were more devoted to him. That's not what God was after. He wanted their attention so that they could do precisely what he wanted. He was going to give them formats. I can't do that. But God was going to do that for them. Now, when people like the children of Israel, they had a decline problem. Because when they made deals with the Gibeonites, Joshua did that by default. Then he had to keep a covenant with them. Now they're still there with all their beliefs and their witchcrafts and whatever else they did. And God had to leave them there. Now, the other ones, most of the tribes didn't finish driving out the Canaanites. Especially the tribes of Dan. They got chased down the mountain. So, in Revelation, they're not listed. They don't have 12,000 representatives when you go to Revelation, I think, chapter 7. They're missing. They're replaced with the tribe of Manasseh. And then the order of the tribes are the most faithful on down. So I think Reuben was second. Reuben was always trying to get back to the top. But if I remember right, I don't right now, but I think Reuben was sucking. If you look, whenever you see the tribes of Israel, the way they're listed according to first age and then faithfulness. Now, covenant. Israel broke the everlasting covenant. And that the decline, if you start from Judges, all right, they began to drive out the Canaanites. Judah and Simeon did a good job. The rest of them didn't do too good. And they got relaxed and comfortable, and they didn't finish, so they didn't trust God on that. Then they started having problems. Now, the first time they went into sin, you know, they had Deborah helped them out. And they would immediately repent. When Gideon, in Gideon's day, they suffered 7 years before they started asking the Lord for help. And then in Jephthah's day, the enemy sent every tribe around them, several different tribes, beginning with Baal worship to reduce them. But in Judges, I'll read that part because before I mess it up, you know, God give us his best, we need to give him ours. But in Judges, 12. It said, and the Judges 10. Judges 10, verse 6. It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. Now watch this. And forsook the Lord, and served him not. So Satan tempted. This was his onslaught plan. Let's see. Let's count them. Balaam, Asheroth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 nations. The gods of 7 nations came. Satan used them to harden Israel's heart and get them to forsake the Lord. Now watch this though. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Okay. He couldn't do nothing. He let this run its course, you know. And now watch this part. Verse 8 gives us a very significant key. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years. All the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in the land. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was in sore distress. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. See that? It took them 18 years of oppression to cry out before it took 7. Now this gets worse. It gets down to Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. The men of Benjamin raped the man's concubine, his wife. And so in the war, Benjamin didn't repent. And they didn't give up the men that raped her. They fought Israel. They killed godly people to keep justice from happening against evil people, because they were evil. Evil don't fight evil. Don't forget that evil, when people lack covenant, the only people that keep covenant, hear me good, the only people that keep covenant are people that's wholehearted. Half-hearted people fight half-heartedly. Leavened people fight leavened. Evil people don't fight evil people. They would have fought. In that day, the tribe of Benjamin probably would have went to war against its own people before they fought another nation. Because they were determined to keep the sin going. So, and after that, in the days of, let's just fast forward all the other battles. The battles of Isaiah, king of Assyria, took over. They never asked God for help. Never did. I didn't read that in Isaiah. But check this out. In Jeremiah, when they went into captivity, chapter 42. Now that's very important. This illustrates the way people are. In Jeremiah 42, they asked Jeremiah to intercede. Now, I'll just read it. It said, then all the captains of the forces of Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hosheiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, and as thine eyes do behold us. Let me read that part. For we are left but few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all thy things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we will send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Now this is a covenant. This is what God was willing to do. The words of Jeremiah had already come to pass. Israel had already gone into Babylonian captivity. But these people were left by Nebuchadnezzar to stay in their own land. They were already in their land. They didn't have to do anything but do right. But a hard-hearted person just can't keep covenant no matter what happens. Verse 11 says, God continues saying, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Now see, fear. Their problem was fear. They were too afraid of the king of Babylon. They didn't fear God as much as they feared Babylon. Now we're going to find out why as we go on. Then he said, I will show you and I will show mercies unto you that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger or bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Then they're a remnant of Judah too. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there you shall die. That again. Then shall it come to pass that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. And there you shall die in Egypt. Verse 17, so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt, to live there, to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I would bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt.